You are listening to a Screenfish one-on-one live with iconic actor Bruce Greenwood. Over the course of Bruce's career, he's played a number of real-life characters ranging from Jack Dunphy to former President of the United States, John F. Kennedy. Bruce returns to the genre in Spielberg's latest film, The Post, where he plays Robert McNamara, one of the key government officials involved in the covering up of the Pentagon Papers in the 1970s. This week, it's a privilege to speak to Bruce about bringing a historical character to life, the urgency of the film in today's current culture, and what it means to restore truth. Welcome to the conversation. Welcome to Screenfish.
Hey, Steve, it's Bruce Greenwood speaking.
Hi, Bruce. How are you?
I'm good. How's it going with you?
It's going very well. Thank you so much for getting in touch with me and giving me the time to chat. I know you're super busy.
Yeah, I just got off a plane, and if I be quiet for a couple of minutes, it means I fall asleep while I'm talking to you.
Totally understand. And sometimes I fall asleep when I'm talking to myself, so that...
Yeah, well, there you go.
I hear you were at the premiere last night. How was it? How did it go?
Well, it was, I've never been to a premiere like it, of course. You know, to be in D.C. with a movie like this at a time in our history such as this was really something. I did not think in my, I would ever run across and get to have a long conversation with somebody like Daniel Ellsberg, but there it was.
Wow. The film, you mentioned about it, a time like this and an important film, The Post is just incredible. Congratulations to you and the entire cast for making a truly remarkable film. I'm not exaggerating when I say it's one of my favorite films of the year.
I'm so glad to hear that.
Yeah. How did you come to be associated with the film?
Well, it was just one of those miraculous things about planets aligning, and for some reason Stephen thought I was the guy to invite, you know, and he called me and said, would you like to do it? And once I picked up the phone from the floor, I went, yeah, okay.
You've had a long relationship with Spielberg as producer, but correct me if I'm wrong, is this your first time working with him as director?
Yeah, it's the first time I've been in a movie of his, and I've been associated with stuff that he'd been a producer on, but we'd had a few sort of brief conversations, but I wasn't entirely sure he even, you know, knew who I was, of course. Mm-hmm. So it was doubly surprising that he reached out to me for this, and then the research began and the conversations began, and you know, then you get to the set and you look at the call sheet, and the call sheet is a list of people that you can only dream to work alongside, you know.
You know, you talk about the amazing cast. I didn't realize this is also the first time Tom Hanks and Meryl Streep have worked together as well.
That seems unlikely, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
This film seemed to come together very, very quickly. Like, what is it? And everybody in the film attacks their role, including yourself, with such passion, which I can't say that with every film I've seen. What was it that had everyone so excited about this?
Well, I think from the moment that Amy Pascal became aware of the script, Liz had a script, it was a passion project. Of course, when she took it to Steven, the urgency really began in earnest. And I think he had another project that he was sort of in the midst of getting in motion. And he felt strongly that, from what I understand, that now was the time, and not a moment too soon, to make a movie about this. And that urgency, coupled with, I suppose you could say, the political passion of everybody involved. But I don't know if it's necessary. It's not just a political passion. It's more a desire to do right by this country, you know?
Mm-hmm.
To remind everybody that democracy is a fragile, fragile bubble and doesn't take much to puncture it.
That sense of urgency, I think, is so key to the film.
Yeah.
I don't know how to express it this way. There's a real fire. What do you attribute this urgency to? What makes this script so important for today?
Well, attempted smothering of the press and the maligning, the mocking, the calling into question the veracity of things that are reported on by the current administration. If an administration chooses to malign, mock, deride, try, diminish, and otherwise impugn truthful reporting for long enough, eventually people may throw up their hands and say, I can't believe anything at all. Mm. And then the control of the press has been won over in that way. I mean, we the people are entitled to the truth, but we don't get it for free. We have to work for it.
Yeah, there's a wonderful line in the film, and I think it's actually from your character that says it's easy for the papers to paint us as liars. Mm-hmm. And it does seem like truth has taken a hit today. So how do we repair that? How do we work towards a better sense of truth again today?
That's a long question. requires a lot of dialogue to tease out the answer. You know, because a lot of news is incredibly partisan, and the echo chambers that we all inhabit to some degree are dangerous places. Mm-hmm. I wish I had the answer to how we create civil discourse that allows penetrating reporting to keep us informed.
You know, one of the things about this film, too, this isn't the first time, of course, you've played a historical figure, JFK.
A lot, yeah.
So how do you prepare for that? I mean, certainly you can't speak to somebody that has been that died several years ago.
I don't speak to the dead much as I wish I could.
So how do you prepare for a role like McNamara?
A lot of reading and watched a lot of film. Hmm. And continue to read throughout the shoot. And of course, once I got onto the set, everybody is suffused with information from their own research, and then you start cross referencing quotes and people and points of view with the other people that have been working on the movie and have done equivalent amounts of research, but you know, focused on different things. So the dialogue at work was constantly about, oh, did you know this? Did you know that? Oh, I thought that happened then. I see it happened then, you know. Hmm. There was all that. There was a tremendous amount of sort of cross-reference conversation between all the people that were working on the movie and everybody, right from the top of the call sheet to the last man on the list, seemed to feel as though we were doing something that had to be done and had to be done right now.
When you're playing somebody who, a real person, or do you feel a greater sense of responsibility to the character, or do you feel like you can bring your own perspectives into the performance?
I don't think you can help but bring your own perspectives into the performance. And the idea of creating, being able to recreate somebody in a whole way is, I think, will drive you mad. I think I can only hope anyway to find a couple of shapes and colors in the kaleidoscope of who that person was and hope that reflects something of who they were and what they represented. I will say, though, that when I was talking to Carl Bernstein last night, unsolicited, he said watching Meryl Streep was like being in a room with Kay Graham.
Wow.
Yeah. So there, you know, some actors can do that utterly. Other actors like myself can, you know, attempt.
Well, you're being humble. I think you do an excellent job. I really do.
Well, you know what I mean, though. I mean, yeah. Well,
she's Meryl.
Yeah, she's otherworldly.
Yes, it's true. There's best actor, best actress, and Meryl.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and I, in some ways, I guess this is a little unfair. I know they say you should never judge your character, but do you think that McNamara is a good man? Like, not, I don't mean personally you didn't know him, but just based on the story and his role?
Yes, I do. I think he made some profound mistakes and was profoundly misguided, of course. And, you know, his mea culpa notwithstanding it toward the end of his life doesn't, of course, absolve him of his responsibilities, his responsibility in what happened in the 60s in Vietnam. Mm. But to impugn him as a man for his profound missteps would be, that's not for me to say.
Mm. Of course. As we wrap up here, I just want to ask you one more question.
I haven't fallen off the log yet.
I appreciate that. I was just wondering, quite simply, you know, we mentioned how current and important a script like this feels, but you've been involved in incredible projects, just and with amazing scripts. And I'm Canadian, so I know films like Ararat and Existence, up to 13 Days, and so many more wonderful films, even Star Trek. I was just wondering how you know you've found a great script. What is it that, is there a light that goes off? How do you know?
Well, I guess the first clue is you want to turn the page because you don't know what's going to happen next. And that was what was so remarkable about this, was that even though I knew the story writ large, you know, I did know what was going to happen at the end, I was fascinated at how Liz Hanna and Josh managed to pull together all these arguably dry details into something in which every character had a passionate point of view and was pursuing that point of view with everything they had. Because this could have been, the story could have been told, you know, half a dozen different ways and not been nearly as compelling. But they have a gift for endowing characters with an emotional point of view while they're giving you information that you might otherwise think is just plain information. But I think the perfect example is when, in this movie, is when Sarah Paulson, who plays Ben Bradley's wife, responds to, tells him what bravery is and puts it in the context of all the things that Cay Grant had to fight against in order to be taken seriously and in order to be heard. And that is essentially, you know, that can be just used as information, but it was anything but information. It was a passionate hand from a woman who ultimately left her husband, describing the station of women in that moment in our history. Do you remember that scene?
Yes. Oh, it's beautiful. I think they're in the back room.
You know, he talks about his career, and she looks at him askance and says, really, your career? Come on. Yeah. Your career's not going to take a hit. You're going to, this will burnish and buff you no matter what happens.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what's really at stake and who really has something to lose. And then she begins to describe all the things that Cay had to fight against or to prevail.
And, you know, in light of that, one of the things I really appreciated about the film is not just that it was this hail to the press, which is a powerful message and very urgent. That's not what I'm saying. But there was also this really excellent dialogue about the authority of women and their role. And someone like Sarah Paulson's character, at one point, I remember up to that point, there was like, oh, well, she hasn't been in it very much because she sort of runs in and out of the room. And then there's this scene and you're like, ah, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, there's a courage there. And of course, Meryl is Meryl. But everyone in the film, male or female, it's about their courage and their strength. And it's not putting anybody in a box. And it's truly remarkable in that regard.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm glad that resonated for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw that you were from Toronto, so I figured I was talking about Toronto. I saw the number, so I figured as much.
Well, if you're in LA, as I suspect you are, you're very lucky. So it was minus 20 yesterday.
I got on a plane this morning from DC. I just DC. Landed in Atlanta. I'm on my way to the set right now.
Oh, well, there you go. That in and of itself is...
Put off the fancy suit, and now I'm going to pull on a doctor's mask and pretend to wreck an operation.
Oh, thank you, Bruce. Thank you so much. It is honestly a real, genuine privilege, and I really appreciate the chance to talk to you.
Thanks. Well, I enjoyed talking with you.
Thank you. And as always, we started the conversation. This was Screenfish.